This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. This is the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. If you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time, Rocket can. It's halftime, folks. 2 hours down to go. What does that mean? If you can't do math, I get started every single weeknight, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. Thank you to super producer Stu Kovacs hanging out here with me and you. And thanks to everybody tuned in all across North America. That's on our many CBS Sports Radio affiliates. People listening on SiriusXM Channel 206. People listening on a smart speaker. And of course, people listening on the free radio.com app. Take the show with you anywhere. You don't have to leave work and sit in the car and wait to go inside. If you have the app, you can hit pause. You can hit play. You can hit rewind. It's impossible to fast forward. You can't do that. But you can listen live. Real simple, real simple. If you want to find me online, it's also real simple. All of my social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I am at JR Sport Brief. And the number here, CBS Sports Radio, that is 855-212-4CBS. And right before we went to break, we were having a conversation about Lamar Jackson and whether or not he is judged fairly because of the talent that's around him. And so I want to take a call, someone who's been waiting patiently throughout the break, and then I want to switch gears because there's something that's been going on in the NBA that's been bothering me. And so we'll take some time to discuss that. I'll let you know what it is. But let's go up to Washington, D.C. right now, and let's talk to Joshua. Josh, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. What's on your mind?
Yo, what's up, big dog? Like, I just kind of find it a little disrespectful that I hear people talking about Lamar like this. Like, I'm a Washington football team fan, and, you know, like, I got respect for Baltimore, and just when I see him play, yes, I think he took a regression this year from his second year. But to say that he should be a running back and he's a bust, I think that we're comparing him maybe to Patrick Mahomes and different stuff like that. But let's just look at him as an individual player. Who wouldn't take at his first 3 years of a player like Lamar? He just won his first playoff game, showing that he can be a starting quarterback in the league. I don't think there's a team that wouldn't take Lamar, so I think it's definitely disrespectful to say that man should be a running back. Put respect on his name, bro. My man's out there balling. Yes, I think he needs to grow as a passer. That's 100% he does. He overthrows. He overthinks, and you can tell that on the field. But as a football player, you can see that. But, like, just as an overall football player, my man's dynamic. Every time he touches the ball, he's a threat to get in the end zone. So, come on, time out. It's time out for all that, man. Put respect on his name, bro. I love the show, man. I just want to hear what you want to say about that.
Well, thank you, Josh, for calling up from Washington, D.C. I said the same thing, not as emphatically, but I find it ridiculous. I think I pretty much told our caller. We had a caller last hour who said, you know, Lamar is a bust, and, you know, he's actually a running back. He's not a quarterback. And I just had to go, what? Huh? Yeah, he's the running back that threw for 36 touchdowns. He's the running back that went out there and won MVP. He's the running back who started off his career with 30 wins and 7 losses. But we want to move him to running back. And you want to replace him with who? RG3 is gone, but you want to run RG3 back out there? Should I go play quarterback? I got no problem. I'll go up. I've been to M&T. I love the shoot. I go play at M&T, and I go right around the corner to the Inner Harbor. I have me the time of my life. But nobody wants to see that. As Joshua just pointed out, this man is dynamic. He is amazing. He can stand to improve as a passer, yes. But I'm not certain that, like, he's reached the peak of what he can be. Just think about this. If you think Lamar Jackson can't get better, if you think we've seen the best of him, just imagine him continuing to improve as a passer. Imagine what his game will look like a few years from now if he can't improve in that area. Now you got a dual threat now. You know, what does he look like when he's, I don't know, 27 years old? When he's still athletic, he may not be all the way of what he is now in his early 20s. But what does he look like when he's still just capable of taking off? And now he also has a passing game. He's a more well-rounded player, and I would presume he'll have more well-rounded talent around him. Cut the man some slack. This man has had an amazing start to his career. He said it. Think about some of these other players who have been around, some of his contemporaries, the success that he's had versus them. He's had more success than Baker up until now. He's had more success individually. And yeah, we know the name of the game is to go to a Super Bowl. You can look at a Wentz. You can look at a Goff. In comparison to all of those dudes, who would you rather roll with? I'd go with Lamar. Ronnie is here from Houston, Texas. Ronnie, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, JR, I'm not going to give you the privilege to talk about my Texans, so we're going to talk about the Ravens. I appreciate you bringing the Ravens up tonight. I appreciate it. Hey, but anyway, I'm not a Ravens fan, but hey, they got him figured out, JR. And when he get in the playoffs, it's obvious. You know, I had a brother-in-law that played in the league for 7 years, played for the Oilers back in the day. I went to practice with him. They laughing and joking during the week. And then when those lights come on Sunday, they're going to take care of their business. They got you figured out, man. They're going to let you do what you do, and then they're going to get you. You got defensive ends running 4-4s, man. Dude, they want you to run. It's just, you know, nothing against Lamar. I love him. I hope he do win a Super Bowl. But I just don't see it.
It's reasonable, Ronnie. Appreciate you for calling up from Houston. Ronnie called from Houston, and he's talked about not bringing up the Texans. He brought it up. So I will take this opportunity. Hopefully this is the only time I say it. Yeah, the Texans suck, Ronnie. Thank you for reminding all of us. Scott is calling up from Kansas City, the home of Patrick Mahomes. Scott, you are on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, you ain't going to believe this. I'm actually a Houston Texans fan living in Kansas City, so it kills me every time we talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Whoa. Scott, did you move from Texas up to Kansas City? How'd that happen?
It's a very long story. Basically, long story short, my old man was a Rams fan. I actually went to the first Rams game in St. Louis.
Okay.
And then that all happened, and I kind of jumped ship with J.J. Watt and Matt Schaub, and I just stayed on the bandwagon.
Okay.
But now Houston – anyways, that I didn't call in to talk about Houston. We want to talk about how terrible that situation is.
Let's not.
So when Lamar started in the league, I thought he was the most overrated. I was like, he's a running back. He'll never succeed. He doesn't have the accuracy. He's got great legs, but he's a poor man's version of Michael Vick. But I'll tell you, after watching him this last year, if Hollywood Brown had any hands whatsoever, I mean, they'd have won 3 or 4 more games, and this conversation wouldn't even be happening because he'd be in the MVP race again. He's got no receivers except for that tight end on that team. And if they get, like, I hate to say Will Fuller, who has also doesn't have any hands, they get somebody on there who can – like, oh, an Anquan Boldin who could catch anything you threw in his general direction. That team's going to be at least AFC Championship game caliber, if not Super Bowl caliber, next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're pretty much hard-pressed to bring in an Anquan Boldin type. It'd be nice if we could pull him out of a time machine and stick him with this version of the Ravens. But, yeah, that's like all-pro, Pro Bowl-level receiver. And that would certainly help. I think a Pro Bowl receiver would help anybody.
Right. You're not wrong.
All right, that's just true. Well, Scott, thank you so much for calling up from Kansas City. All the best to you. I'm sorry you got to be around all that winning, but the team is the Texans. That sucks. Well, thank you, Scott. Appreciate you, my man, okay?
Have a good night, man.
You as well. Stop by. I think it's Chimes. No, I'm mixing stuff up. Chimes is down in Baton Rouge. For everybody listening in Baton Rouge, do me a favor, swing by Chimes. But if you're in Kansas City, I forgot the name of the barbecue place where you walk in the door and they ask you, can I help you? Swing by that place for me. It's called Gates. Yeah, swing by Gates Barbecue for me. Here I am at night thinking about food. I wish I had some damn food here, but I'm sitting here talking about food. Talking about food in Kansas City, talking about food in Texas, talking about food in Baton Rouge. I must have a problem. I must have an issue. You know, we got a lot of callers out there. Somebody's eating right now. Congratulations to you. Thank you. Super producer Stu Kovacs.
Yes, JR.
Are you hungry?
I'm always hungry, JR, unfortunately.
Yeah. Thinking about food. Once I get off air, I think I'm going to identify some food to eat. I don't even know why I'm thinking about Kansas City, and then all of my brain just went straight to barbecue between Houston and Kansas City. It's just all about foods, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good food in that neck of the woods in that part of the country. I wish I could go out there and get some of that food right now.
Yeah, and you know what? This isn't food related. But I actually, there was a story I saw today, and this is, one day we'll talk about this. This is actually an embarrassment, because I saw that Kansas City, which I have known for a long time to be, you know, just Arrowhead, like they have changed, they have naming rights to the stadium. Did you hear about that?
I did, yeah. The iconic Arrowhead, I guess, is going to kind of be no more, right?
Yeah, Kansas City Chiefs reach naming rights deal for Arrowhead Stadium. GEHA? I don't even know. I'm hoping it's GEHA and not GEHA. Who is going up to Arrowhead Stadium and calling it GEA? Who the hell is doing that? Like, it's not even anything that sounds okay to say. This is almost as dumb. I think it's in Louisville, Kentucky, as I think it's the KFC Yum Center. And I get it. That's the whole food brand. But Kansas City GEHA Stadium? This is what the Chiefs announced even on their own Twitter. Alongside GEHA, we're excited to announce our naming rights agreement for GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. Well, damn. And I think one of the more, I guess, accurate things that I saw today, someone actually tweeted in response and said, we might as well just name the stadium any way to make more money to pay Patrick Mahomes Stadium. And that's all true. I'm pretty sure they're making anywhere between, I don't know, probably give or take $20 to $30 million a year just on calling this stupid thing GEHA. Not that anyone cares or gives a damn. But look, the Chiefs are making the money. That's all that matters. We know this is all a business. And speaking of being all a business, quite a few things happen in the NBA tonight. the NBA was able to come out and have their all-star draft. And then even that's good news. The bad news with the NBA is it seems that a lot of their players and then a lot of their officials, they got beef. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about it. We'll also hear about it. Because some of these calls and some of these technicals and some of these players that are getting tossed, it's getting out of hand. It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, bright and intelligent. Some people would beg to differ. I don't know if I agree or disagree. It doesn't matter. I'm just here. I'm just here saying stuff, okay? That's what the hell I do. And this is something I need to say. On Saturday, you got teams on the bubble and tournament seeds still up for grabs. CBS rolls into March with a college basketball triple header. It starts at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific with Georgetown at Connecticut, followed by number 8 Alabama at Georgia and a Pac-12 matchup between USC and UCLA. March is here, and the roll to the Final Four continues Saturday with a college hoops triple header on CBS. Now, before we went to break, I told you I don't want to say I got beef because I'm a lover, not a fighter. I don't got beef. But the fact is, the NBA right now and its officiating is just like ridiculous. I know we've basically moved into a new era of NBA refs. There was a point in time where I could watch a game and you knew the refs by name. You could identify them. I mean, damn it. I've actually met some of these older referees who have now retired. Like, okay, I know him. I could reach out. I know some of these guys. I don't know who some of these new refs are. I have no idea. Okay, I watch them and I go, okay, they look kind of young. Never seen him. Never seen her. Don't know who that is. This is a long way away from Steve Javi or whoever the case may be. And we all know there wasn't one crooked referee. We at least knew he was crooked. And that's Tim Donaghy, but it probably were some others. But over the past several weeks, we've had some players that just have gotten dumped, ejected for like the most ridiculous things. And it makes me go, the referee needs to swallow his whistle and put his hands in his pockets because these technical fouls, they're just getting out of hand. It's ridiculous. A matter of fact, J.J. Redick, last month, the Pelicans knocked off the Celtics in a game, and J.J. Redick was thrown out the game, like right at a whistle, for forcefully throwing a ball at an official during a stoppage. Listen to this. This was on ESPN.
I was going to say good defense, got a hand up, but drew the foul, and J.J. Redick has just been tossed. Josh Tibbin has seen enough. It looked like Redick tried to throw the ball to him, or at least threw the ball in Tibbin's direction. And Tibbin teed him up, and his night's over. Might have said something.
I would assume he said something.
Didn't put up much of an argument on the way out.
I think Josh interpreted that maybe as showing him up a little bit. I mean, he got the whistle, JJ, right? The foul call was made.
Oh, there's nothing is ever better than the unifying chant of refs, you suck. It's great. How about that? That's one of my favorite chants to always hear. And it doesn't just stop there. How about earlier this week? Yeah, J.J. Redick, a sharpshooter, one of the best shooters you'll ever see, really. How about this week? Devin Booker, emerging star, one of the best scorers in the league. I think he's underrated. Devin Booker, the Suns were playing the Lakers the other night. The Suns ended up winning. Dario Saric ended up stepping up. But Devin Booker was tossed in the third quarter, and it's like nobody knew what the hell was going on. Nobody knew why. He got two quick tees and he got the boot. His coach, Monty Williams, this is what he had to say about the official's explanation on why Booker got the boot.
I didn't need one. I didn't get one because we had to move on. And, you know, that's what we have to do in those moments. I saw talking. I saw back and forth. And to be honest with you, I didn't need an explanation. You know, for us to be the team that we need to be, can be, we got to be able to handle those moments even when they don't go our way. And that's what I had to do. I had to move on and get Cam Johnson into the game and go to the next play.
Yeah, spoken like a true coach, but he didn't get no explanation. And I can tell you, for someone sitting watching the game, everybody kind of went like, "What? Wait, what did he do? What did he do? String together 3-4 magic words to get the boot?" And how about another amazing player? This was just last night. Okay, Donovan Mitchell. They're in overtime against the Sixers. They ended up losing. The Jazz did 131 to 123. Donovan Mitchell is just being defended out there by Ben Simmons. He still puts up 33 points. It took him a million shots to do it. But he got called for like a hooking foul. Like him and Ben Simmons are both hooked together. He gets called for an offensive foul. It's pretty ridiculous. And then he gets the boot for talking to the officials. And Donovan Mitchell, yeah, after the game, he was pretty upset. He pretty much, even walking off the court, he slapped a cooler and it actually hit one of the staff members. He patted the staff member and apologized. He wasn't any less upset after the game. Listen.
It's tough to go out there and see how we fight and compete and to have a game like that taken from us. And I'm never, ever one to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more, but this is getting out of hand. You know, there have been games like this that we've won. There have been games like this that we've lost. But this whole refereeing stuff and the way we're nice, we don't complain, we don't get frustrated. You know, we fight through things. And the fact that we just continually get screwed in a way by this, you know, like we won this game, in my personal opinion, you know. But like I said, I'm gonna give them credit. They won, whatever, cool. But like this is it's a consistent thing. And, you know, the question is, can we do it? Can we sustain it? Are we for real number one? Like, yeah, the hell we are. And it's getting ridiculous, KK, that this is what's happening. You know what I mean? We have a whole second half of the season to go and get ready for. But, like, I'm sick of it. To be honest with you, we all are. You know, and I think this is something that just it eats me. It eats at me, man. And it's – I don't – y'all know what it is. We all know what it is. But it's really getting out of hand. It's really, really, really getting out of hand. And the league needs to do something about this.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell, I think he feels that the Jazz are mistreated because they're not like the Lakers. It's the Utah Jazz. Rudy Gobert, he had his beef too. Listen.
I'm not able to get some calls that everybody else in the league gets. So, you know, we know that we're the Utah Jazz and we... You know, maybe some people don't want to see us, you know, go as far as I believe that we can go, but it's disappointing. We know that when you're a small market, I don't want to say that, but I really believe it. You know, after playing in this league for 8 years, it's a little harder, and that's one of the things that we got to overcome. That's why I told the guys, you know, when you're a small market, you gotta be better than just better. You gotta be, you know, you gotta be elite, and we gotta control what we can control. But it's very disappointing to be disrespected like that.
Okay, all right, whatever. Whatever hypes you up, whatever gets you going, I guess. It's not even a matter of small market. It's just a matter of the talent. Like Donovan Mitchell, he's not, you know, he ain't LeBron. He's a 25-5-5 guy, but forget the market. Nobody cares. It's like, yeah, that may be the point. You're in Utah. Who cares? I don't think anybody wakes up and says, oh, my goodness, we got to screw the Jazz or let's overlook the Jazz. Y'all got the best record in the league. And when it comes down to all things considered, like the foul shots, give or take, on an average, you guys are taking like 19 and 20 and the other team is taking the same amount. But if you got to hype yourself up, then go for it. I understand. But having said that, the NBA does have an issue. The NBA does have, I don't know if I'd go as far to call it a major problem, But the refs have to chill. Rasheed Wallace, notorious for getting into it with referees. Rasheed always said, you know what, it's not about the money, it's about the principle. We don't even got refs who walk up and say, yeah, I was wrong. My bad. Maybe every now and then you'll get a makeup call. But you really don't see the explanations like you used to. You don't see the communication between the refs, between the officials and the players. Come on. J.J. Redick was thrown out of a game for forcefully throwing a ball at an official. He bounced him the ball. Did he lob it like a volleyball? No, he didn't. But come on. The referees can't be out there, in the words of Shaquille O'Neal, the refs can't be out there and be pudding pops. Develop a rapport with the players. Be able to communicate with them. Don't run around like you're the law, like you're the end-all, be-all, like this is your game. It's not. You're there to enforce the rules of the game. And yes, you also want to uphold the integrity of the game. You can't have folks running around saying whatever the hell they want to do. You want to be a steward of sportsmanship. But that doesn't mean that you all of a sudden become sensitive. Man, I've seen refs get cursed out on the street. Been still able to go out and maintain the game and maintain the rules. I'm not saying the officials should go out there and just receive all types of abuse. But at least, at the minimum, at least develop a rapport with the players. Instead of just being pudding pops and just throwing them out for willy-nilly reasons. And so I think this is something that the NBA eventually needs to address. Because we have a new generation of refs. We have a new generation of officials, and I think if one thing that they need to learn is, similar to the players, build a rapport, build a relationship. People are paying for entertainment at the end of the day. People want to see Devin Booker hit threes. People want to see Donovan Mitchell fly through the lane. People want to see J.J. Redick hit a crunch time three. Nobody wants to see these guys walk to the locker room because a referee was too damn sensitive. So I think officiating in the NBA, I think these referees, yeah, I think they put in pops. Thank you, Shaq. The phone lines are open, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Do you believe that the officiating in the NBA has gotten out of hand? Do you believe that the NBA refs right now just throwing everybody and their mama out, do you think they're too soft? The phone lines are open. I'll take your calls when we return. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
We're talking about officiating in the NBA. You throw the ball at a ref, technical foul. You tell the ref that he missed a call, technical foul. You get one technical foul, there's a good chance he's giving you two technical fouls and you just going straight to the back. Has the officiating in the NBA gotten out of hand? I say yes. I mean, just this week, two consecutive nights, we saw two All-Stars get the boot. Devin Booker, go away. Donovan Mitchell, go away. J.J. Redick, a few weeks ago, he threw the ball to an official at the end of a play. The referee wasn't happy, gave him the boot, gave him a tech, and then gave him another one when he responded. And come on, man. To borrow a term from Shaq, the refs are being pudding pops. Ain't nobody showing up to watch them. Nobody's turning on the television to watch the back of a referee's head. They got to chill out. The refs, the players, they have to develop a rapport to at least get back on the same page. What do you think? Are the refs like going overboard in the NBA? Do they need to chill? 855-212-4CBS. You can also tweet me at JR Sport Brief. Let's start off here in Milwaukee and let's talk to Jacob. Jacob, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, first time calling. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I do believe the refs are going overboard. I believe there's a lot of factors going into it. I noticed with Giannis getting a technical for dunking on Cat and giving that face, which I thought was ridiculous. But I think there's a few factors, and one of them you brought up was they kind of like changed the image, if you will. And I think with COVID and no fans in the crowd, there's more spotlight on them, and maybe I mean, it's kind of it sounds silly, but it maybe it's they feel like it's their time to shine, if you will. And yeah. I find it disrespectful, honestly.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, Jacob, for calling from Milwaukee. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm not going to go as far to say the referees feel that this is their time to shine. But it is an excellent point to say that for the most part, and I think every arena will eventually have fans except for Oklahoma City. But you basically, these are still quiet arenas. You don't have the atmosphere of the fans there. The referees, they aren't catching the same type of hate or vitriol that they would traditionally catch from a crowd. It's just them and the players. And I'm sure that that does have some type of effect, because I guess whatever criticism that you receive, you feel it a little bit more. You're less prone to get lost in a sea of 20,000 people in one space, where it starts to feel like it's just you and the player. And I'm pretty sure that that does have an effect. That was an excellent point. Wayne, he's calling up from Baltimore. Wayne, you are CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. Do you think that the NBA referees right now, are they getting out of hand with the sensitivities?
JR, you are the man, but I have to tell you, the players are out of control in the NBA. What happened to the college game? I watch college. These kids don't argue. They stay under control. You watch a pro game, it's like everybody, every play is bitching, right?
I'm trying to understand the difference, Wayne, between now and 20 years ago. 30 years ago, this isn't to talk about the players isn't a new or unique situation. It sounds pretty normal to me. And so I don't think anything is different there between the players reacting now versus any other point in time.
It seems like in the pro game a few years back, you would have a captain that would argue with the refs and question the refs on calls. But now it seems like every play, every player coming down the floor has got something to say. The refs have had it. I'm telling you, that's what it is.
Oh.
They're at their breaking point.
That's difficult to say, because it's not like this is the same. These are the same refs. This is a new set of refs. The NBA for a long time, I would say for at least a span, and we've gone through a generation of referees. So to say that the new generation have had it, a lot of these NBA referees running around right now, they are fresh out of developmental.
You're right. You're right on that point, because, yeah, it seems like you say boo to these referees and they're ready to toss you. So you know what? You did change my mind on that point. But every player has got to stop bitching down the court every session.
All right, it's a two-way street, and this is why I say ultimately there's a rapport. That's the difference. And thank you, Wayne, for calling up from Baltimore. If you're asking me personally, do we? And this is something else. We have more possessions, and the NBA has gone in waves. There was a period in the 80s where it's just like video game basketball. And then things started to slow down into the 90s and the early 2000s. And then things, obviously, in more recent years or the past 10 years, the pace of play has started to pick up. And so it's a lot different when, you know, you got somebody posting up and it's just like, where's the foul? It's obvious. And now we're playing like ping pong style basketball. So there are several factors to take into account. But one thing I know for certain, I don't see the communication than I feel that I used to see years ago. Because you don't have the same type of stoppages and play. You do see more complaining between both the referees and the players. But I don't feel I see the same type of explanation. This is what you did. This is why it's a travel. This is why you don't see that. It's like the referees are just there. It's not like they're actively a part of the game, which at one point they were. Dan is calling from New Jersey. Dan, do you think officiating is an issue?
It certainly is an issue. And JR, it's my first time speaking to you during the evening. I'm used to talking to you on a Saturday in New York, and you're knocking it out of the park. You're doing great.
But well, thank you, Dan. Go ahead.
But with regards to the referees, I do think it is a two-way street. However, you brought up a very, very good point. This isn't competition. This is a business. This is entertainment. So the referees have to understand, maybe they have to swallow a little bit more than they'd like to and realize that the fans are there and they're starting to come back. The Knicks had a couple thousand fans here tonight in their victory, and they're there to see the players. They're not there to see the referees. Now, granted, the players have to also understand they have an obligation, too, to not to be too disrespectful to the refs. And is there a little more griping now than there was 30 years ago? I believe there is. But I also think the quality of the referees is not where it was 30 years ago also, JR.
Correct. No, it's true. I mean, you could watch an NBA game, and this is also true. The referees, although they are stewards and they're there to uphold the rules and the integrity of the game, there was a point in time where the referees, even as a casual basketball fan, you knew who the refs were. You knew them by face. You knew them by style. You would see the referees explain. We don't have that anymore. And I'm actually going to look into this. But the refs right now, I would say the majority of them are just fresh out of the G League. Like there's, I don't even know how many refs are long tenured. Like we have a new wave that's in. And so everybody can do a little bit better. But it's the respect isn't there. And maybe it's because a lot of these refs, to me, they seem just to be anonymous faces running around.
But Monty, you're right. But Monty Williams, getting to the Devin Booker ejection, Monty Williams handled that perfectly. You know, at the end of the day, Devin Booker maybe shouldn't have said what he said. Now, he's not condoning the referee doing what he did. He didn't get an explanation. But he's kind of like, Devin, you know, you can't put yourself in that situation. You have to be smarter than that.
Sure.
And realize that, you know, that doesn't make it right what the refs did. But you can't ignore the fact that they are. Some of these referees, they just don't tolerate, you know, negative words towards them. We'll say name-calling. And, sure. And what happened the other day with Philadelphia and Utah was disgraceful. That refereeing, if you watched that game, and I did, that was some of the most horrific refereeing I've seen in a long, long time. So Donovan Mitchell was really not
justified
to say what he said.
No, he wasn't. The guy got thrown out for a hook, and it was I hook you, you hook me. It was a tangle up, and you know he got called for an offensive foul, which definitely was not an offensive foul. Dan, thank you so much for calling up from Jersey. I look forward to catching you on the Fan.
You take care.
You as well. Steve from Albuquerque. Steve, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What are your thoughts? Do you think these refs are a little too sensitive?
Yeah, of course. JR, first time, long time. I'm always late night sports radio, and it is my favorite, but I felt passionate about this for quite some time that especially in the NBA, the refs are controlling that game. I can't recall the ref that got busted for betting on games, and that sold it for me. It became at that point the WWE because those refs tried to become the star. And I can't tell you that. Have you ever seen a player argue with that ref and all of a sudden overturn a call or get a call because they thought they were supposed to do it? It is all showboating. They want to get on there. They want to argue with them, and they want to, they almost make those referees the stars of the game, and they give them the total control, and it is frustrating to me. It almost makes the NBA in my mind, sort of unwatchable because the competition is there, and as soon as the refs get involved and when they pick and choose the fouls that they sometimes call, like they call it fair, they call it tight one game, they call it loose the next game. Like, where's the standard involved with these refs? What happens? How do they choose to call the game the way they do? Why are they part of that game? And why do we have to? I mean, I like soccer. Why do we watch people flop down on soccer and pander to the refs over and over, and nothing changes?
Yeah, soccer flopping is it can really be an extreme. And we've seen that in the NBA where they've now threatened to fine players. A few players every now and then, you'll see on occasion someone will get fined for flopping after a warning. This is something we also have to keep in mind. And thank you, Steve, for calling up from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Phone lines are open, 855-212-4CBS. The referees are still human. Like, if you want consistency game to game, It's unimaginable to think that every game is going to get reffed the same. There's the atmosphere. There are the players. There's the style. I mean, there's so many factors that go into officiating a game. It's not one size fits all. It really is game to game. I like the analogy of NBA being the WWE. We'll talk about it here on CBS Sports Radio. I'll be back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. audacy. Download it today.